But this is who you are in me. And anytime we act and anything flows out of us that's not of Jesus, the Holy Spirit has something to say about it. Kind of like Isaiah says, when you turn to the left or to the right, or if you move out of God's way or out of Christ's likeness, you will hear a voice, not just behind you, but now in the new covenant, you'll hear a voice where? In you, because now the law is not just written on tablets of stone. What does the scripture say? His law is written where? On our hearts and on our minds, right? You'll hear a voice behind you and a voice within you saying, nope, this isn't of me. This did not bring glory to my name. This did not reflect my character. And the Holy Spirit will cause not only a conviction, but an internal remorse. He'll cause your heart to be remorseful for doing anything or saying anything that doesn't reflect Jesus Christ, who lives in you, who said your body is the temple of His Holy Spirit, and your house, your body, you're the dwelling place of God. And man, just so you see in Isaiah, just some precious verses at the end of the book of Isaiah. Verse 28, haven't you known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. Praise God for that. Amen. I faint and I get weary, right? And the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we're going to reap. So anyone battling discouragement or feeling like quitting or feeling like, I don't know if I have the strength, I don't know if I can do this. The fact is, we can't do it on our own. Amen. We need God's grace. And the good news tonight is His grace is sufficient. Praise God. And God will not allow us to be tempted past that you're able, praise God. Not based on your ability when it says that you're able, but with the temptation He will make, right? A way of escape. His grace, His work in you, His Spirit will make a way of escape that you might be able to what? Bear it instead of becoming bitter through it or unthankful or lash out or retaliate or become angry. He'll make a way for you through it so that you come through it and you're more refined. Amen. Your faith is tried and you come forth out of it as more, with more gold, with more pure gold, with more genuine faith. It's kind of like Hebrews says, you have need of patience that what after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We heard Pastor talk a little bit about the need for patience this morning. The trying of our faith, work in patience. At times we get weary. And look what it says here. He neither faints nor is weary, and his understanding is what? Unsearchable. We need the rest in the fact that God knows even when we don't. We need to be content, not in understanding or our minds have an apprehension or comprehension of the circumstances, at times the wisdom we're looking for or the understanding. We need to be a people who can rest in just knowing Him and that He knows He's in control. And if you need, if He believes or He deems it so that you need understanding in that area that your mind is fighting to understand and wants to be answered to, and once the reasons, and once the whys of life answered, we get that way at times. And we just got to go back and say, Father, You're in control. I choose to trust You, and I will not lean to my own what? To my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge You in all of my ways, and You promise that You'll what? Make straight or direct our paths, praise God. So we rest. We rest in what? Knowing Him. Knowing His love for us. Knowing His promises to us. Knowing that He's working in us both what? To will and to do. God is working in you both to will and to do. And being confident, Philippians 1 says, of this very thing, that He who has what? Begun. He doesn't begin something and then abandon us. He doesn't leave us, John says, as orphans or without comfort or comfortless. He is the God of all comfort, praise God. He's the God of peace. His peace passes understanding. We don't understand, and at times we are, whether it's sorrows or troubles or heaviness, and sometimes we are going through a specific trial or tragedy, and other times we don't even know why the oppression's coming. There doesn't need to be a reason for the enemy to bring oppression on your mind. He's an oppressor. He just comes looking for opportunity to make you lose your hope and get discouraged and tell you you're not worthy and God doesn't really love you and it seems he hadn't been showing up in your life of late and why is this happening and if God was really for you, what about this and that and the other? And he just wants you to come to a place. He wants to try to make us question God's goodness, question God's word, question God's love, question one another instead of praying for one another, to become critical of one another. You know what? We become critical of one another because in actuality we're becoming critical of, I know it's hard to admit that because we think it's never toward God. We wouldn't do that toward God. That's what we think. Instead of being critical, let's be merciful. Instead of being judgmental, little judges, with that pharisaical self-righteous, just so quick to think we know someone's heart, or before people speak, I know them. And you think because you know their past, you know their present, you know exactly where. We can't think we know, man. We got to depend on the Holy Spirit's ministry through us to cause us to love as he loved us. We don't want to presume on one another, take one another for granted, and just start thinking we know one another's hearts because we've known one another. We might. We know one another's fruit. But just believe in the best about each person in each situation and not dealing with everybody based on all their past, but just deal with them on that issue right now. Can I get one wife saying amen? How about a husband? Amen. Don't take one another for granted. Choose to believe the best. Let that grace work. It causes that unity to continue to grow in our hearts, in our homes, in our marriages, in our relating to one another and relating to our children. It's not unity based on temporal things. It's not unity based on conscience. It's unity based on the Word and the Spirit and Jesus being Lord. It's agreeing that Jesus is right and I need to step down and stay small in my own eyes and have that spirit where Jesus talks about being lowly of mind, considering others better than myself. And that's one of the biggest battles, guys, is just thinking we're better. Better than we are, better than others. It's that competitive spirit that wants to pass someone or be above someone. And man, we can't change that in our lives. That's still in our natural man. We've been set free from that, but we got to battle with it as long as we're in this body, right? And just, but the grace is sufficient to overcome that too. We battle with it, but we don't have to be victimized by it. We don't have to be under its power. And if you are, what do? You rise up and you go, that's not who Jesus is in me. That's not who he said my new man is. That's not who he called me to be. And you call upon the name of the Lord, not just at the time of accepting him for salvation the first time. You call upon his name again for deliverance, amen, for redemption again, for the power of that redemption to manifest in the area of need or in the area of weakness. He said he's an ever-present help, right, an abundantly available an ever-present help in time of trouble. He has what you need at the time of your battle. He's not just showing up from without. He's rising up from within. Amen. His understanding's unsearchable. And look at this. Verse 29. He gives power to the weak. Can you say praise God for that? There's another verse. I think it's in Joel. I didn't look it up this evening. But it says, let the weak say, I'm strong, praise God. Without him, we can do nothing, right? But through him, right, we can do all things, amen? Through Christ who strengthens us. So how do you get your strength back if you're weary or if you've lost your way or you've lost your refreshing or you've lost the delight in what you're doing in your walk of faith? How do you get your delight back? How do you get your joy back? Anyone need their joy back or need more of it tonight? Don't have to raise your hands. I think a good part of us would raise our hands. You have a right to that joy because it's been promised to you. You say, well, you don't really know what I'm going through fully. No, I don't. But I know someone who does, and he's living in you. And he cares, and he knows, and he says your joy nobody can take from you, right? And that joy is your strength, right? And that joy causes a rejoicing in our lives. And what does Satan do? He comes to wear us down, to attack us, so we just start thinking naturally again and looking at things through natural eyes. Instead of walking by faith, we start walking by sight. And we lose that peace. We lose that joy, because that joy is based on the relationship. Walking in the presence of God, walking in the Spirit of God, right? Walking with Him, abiding in Him. And then that fruit is the result of abiding in the Holy Spirit. It comes from abiding in the vine, that attribute of the fruit, that part of the character of the Holy Spirit. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, what does He do? How many of you need more strength? How many of you need more strength tonight? It's available to you, praise God. Right? Get more strength in God. Get time with Him. He knows where your weakness is. He knows what you need. And He knows before we ask. He's our Father. But it's good for us to open our hearts and to tell Him what we need. Amen? To share our hearts. To pour our heart forth and to say, I need You right now. I'm weary. I know when I'm weary, I can be more like, you know, like whatever. When we get weary and our propensities, our natural propensities begin to rise up more easily when we're worn down. Man, we got to call upon the Lord. Say, Lord, I need You right now. I can't wait for the season to end to get back on track. I need You. I'm desperate for You. I need You to meet me where I am. I need You to lift me from this miry clay. I need You to lift me from this weakness in my natural man. And it could be a lack of sleep. It could be a lot of different reasons. We just feel weary, or sometimes we feel like blah, or sometimes we're overworking and a lot going on. But there's strength for you tonight, praise God. To those who have no might, He increases strength. And He said it's not by might, right, nor by power. Sometimes you can't wait to get the next vacation. You need your refreshing and your strength back today, right? You can't wait till you get out of town. I think as Americans, we're very programmed that way. And I'm not saying it's wrong to take a break or anything, but we're really programmed to, man, I can't wait for this and I can't wait for that. But in God, we can't wait for that. We got to find supernatural strength. We got to get the strength that comes from sitting at His feet. The refreshing as we imbibe His presence and spend time in that sweet presence of God. And we worship and we imbibe and we drink and we open our hearts and we get quiet and we listen and we praise Him. We pray for the lost and we pray for one another and we pray for our missions trip and for our children and whatever it is that the Holy Spirit had on the list. We begin to pray for people who have specific needs, who've requested the body to pray. People who are battling in areas, chronic things. Father, give me a compassion. And we begin to pray for these different needs. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who what? Wait on the Lord. What's the word of the Lord tonight? Wait on the Lord. What does it mean to wait? It doesn't mean just sit there and do nothing. At times it does mean that. That's part of waiting. It means shut in with God. Wait on God. Don't make haste. It says in Isaiah, he believeth shall not make what? Haste. Don't get hasty. Wait on God's timing. For what? For whatever it is you're believing for. Let God do it. Wait on Him to work in you to bring your heart and mind into alignment with His timing. And our natural man always wants to what? Get ahead or get behind. To lag behind is one side of our natural man, or to get ahead of God, to try to get ahead and go make something happen. Let God work. He'll make things beautiful if you wait upon Him. His timing. He'll make things beautiful in His time. And if it's not looking beautiful to you at this time, what do? You just say, I know God's good. I know what His promises are, and they're yes and amen to the glory of God by us, the church. I know that He said in Romans 8:28, He'll work all things together for what? For good. To those who love God and are what? Called according to His purpose. He's going to do good. He's going to bring about good. And good in His eyes is making us like Jesus. And Jesus walked in victory, and part of that victory that was wrought in his life is he learned obedience by what? Suffered is also endured, what he endured. But he learned obedience, and we know he was never disobedient, and yet he learned obedience, though he were a son, it says, yet learned he obedience. And we're sons and daughters, right? And we are not as obedient. We're not him, though he was born as a man. Lived as a man, son of God, God all in one. How do you explain that? You don't. It says he learned obedience through what he suffered. So as God is leading us into things that bring about a greater obedience and a perfecting of obedience, kind of says in 2 Corinthians, that process of perfecting holiness and the fear of God, sometimes that process, he's leading us into a place of wilderness, like he led Jesus, like he led the children of Israel, to bring forth character. And at those times, Satan would like to come in and say, where's God? Why is this happening? Why does it seem I'm going the wrong direction? No, you just can't see that in the wilderness right now, there's a promised land coming. There's a victory coming. There's more grace coming. There's more humility coming, right? There's more of what you've been believing for and being more like Jesus is coming. And sometimes we just get impatient and we're not waiting for God to work. We want out of the trial. We want somebody else to change to make life easier on us. And the Lord's saying, just trust me. Embrace this cup that I've put before you. Jesus tasted death by the grace of God, Hebrews chapter 2 says. So as we're having to die, not just the actual, you know, whether it's martyrdom, he went to the cross, whether it's being martyred. Right now I'm applying it in dying to self. Even in dying to self, you can't work it in your own strength by your natural man. You got to trust in God's grace, God's promises. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. I'm not trying to be. Now, at times it feels like I'm trying to be because I'm not acting crucified with Christ. But the fact is, I am crucified with Christ. And that's the right way to use confession regarding your righteousness in Christ. You might do something unrighteous and Satan will try to get you to lose sight of the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And your failure or sin does not cancel the fact that you're the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. We have a mercy seat. We have a high priest. We have a spiritual altar we can go to and confess our sins and be forgiven. The blood of Jesus is still effectual today, beloved. And not only gives you bold access, it gives you remission of sin again, forgiveness, cleansing. How precious that blood is. That those who wait, verse 31, on the Lord shall. I believe some of us need our strength renewed tonight, and I'm among those people. Can anybody else say amen? Amen. Don't wait for a lot of time with God. Take what you have. If you've not been being disciplined enough to get a lot of time or enough time with God, take what you have. I've had longer times that were less productive than shorter times. And my point isn't keep doing shorter times because you've had some productive ones. That's not my point. My point is the enemy will lie to you and say, well, if you can't get really good, long quality time, why bother now? That's not true. And anyone in here who's gotten those short moments with the Lord, it's still precious. And it has an impact and an effect on our lives and through our lives. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run. Who's that? Those who wait upon the Lord. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I think it's important in this walk to continue to remind ourselves that Jesus is the author and the finisher. It is, you say, well, yeah, I mean, sure. But you know, I tell you what, a lot of believers trust in him for salvation and begin to trust in their works to make it to heaven. And I'll tell you something, we can fall into it very easily because there's a lot of works and obedience and things that are required of a believer, but it's supposed to be the fruit and the byproduct of relationship and communion and abiding and not working for merit. not working for approval. But you gotta labor knowing you're accepted in the beloved. You're not laboring to be accepted and to get God to love you or to make him happy with you. He delights in you because you believe in Jesus. And the scripture says we're accepted in the beloved, not in our works. There are works that are the result of faith and grace and salvation. Amen. But those works are because Jesus lives in us. The Spirit of God lives in us. We work because he's at work in us, both to will and to do. But man, tonight we need to rest again and be refreshed and man, we're loved. We're complete in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of putting off and putting on and things that God requires. There's no question about it. But you can't lose sight of this great salvation. You can't lose sight of God's love shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 12 says, yeah, we lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. And sometimes we read that and we get focused so much on that. But it goes on and it says, looking unto Jesus. As you're working on laying aside every weight, that's the weight and sin that's trying to keep you from looking unto Jesus. But the key to putting off the weights is be in love with the Lord. Be in pursuit of the Lord. Love his word. Hide it in your heart. Spend time praying in the Holy Spirit, praying for the lost, praying for open doors, praying for the brethren. Hebrews 12 says we're looking unto Jesus, the author or the originator. The author and the what? Finisher. Trust him to finish what he started in your life. Step back and don't allow yourself to take matters back into your own hands again. Don't think because you're not seeing things happen in your time that now you got to do something about it. That's a temptation that our natural man has. And that's not just Abraham regarding Ishmael. That's each one of us having that same, and that's written so we can learn and identify that propensity within our own lives, right? Looking, verse 2, unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Verse 3, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. We heard this morning that as things become more difficult, doesn't mean God's not in control. He's completely in control. In fact, many believers over the years and centuries have seen the greatest manifestations of God's power and grace during the most trying times. You want to wait for trying times or become more acquainted with the grace today? You want more grace? Hang out with Jesus. That's where you get it. Humility comes from hanging out with the Lord. The humble get grace, the proud or the self-sufficient. One of the manifestations of being self-sufficient and proud is not seeing your desperate need to be with God and just going on about your life, and you begin to live your life and putting God and his word and your relationship with him as secondary or tertiary, or you put it aside. And we don't do it like out of malicious hearts or necessarily I'm going to backslide or I don't care about God. We just begin to think other things are more important, and we begin to eat the fruit of neglecting God. Our lives begin to have the fruit of neglecting being with God. What do we begin to look like when we neglect God? When we begin to draw away, our hearts begin to draw away from God. What begins to happen in our lives? Our minds, we start losing control in our minds. Our minds are bombarded with all kind of thoughts, and we don't have the power, the grace to pull those things down. Next thing you know, you get loud with your wife, or you are talking to someone, and before they finish, you tell them where their heart is. You cut someone off. All different kind of things happen when we begin to drift from the goodness of God. But he's merciful. We drift. He's merciful. He seeks us out again. He comes looking for us. He comes calling for you by name. How many of you are sensing in your heart that that's a word for you right now, and you need to come back home to his presence, to the secret place, to intimacy, and whatever it is that got you off track, don't keep focusing on how did I get here. Focus on where you need to go from here. Right? Don't hear a word like this and go, yeah, that's true. I guess I should do. No guessing. hear it, receive it as yours. Be thankful that God used a donkey, Moabite, to speak to you. Moabite donkey, I told you I was introduced that way in Kenya. By the way, I did catch up with that guy and bring it up, and we almost died laughing. My stomach was almost torn. If y'all ever heard me share that testimony about being introduced as a Moabite donkey, it was very interesting. Enough of that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. You turn over to Philippians. Oh man, I love Philippians. But then if you get me on another day, I'll tell you another book I love too. I love the Word of God. I found your words and I ate them. And they became to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Meditating on the word of God, Psalm 1 and Joshua 1 says, day and night. Daniel be like a tree planted by the waters, praise God, Psalm 1 says. Then you'll have good success, Joshua says. Meditating on the word that you might what? Do it. The word meditate just means to think upon, to mutter, to ponder, to speak quietly to oneself. Otherwise people think you're crazy. Philippians 1, being confident, not in yourself, but in God, right? Being confident of this very thing that he who has begun a good work in you. Man, sometimes we get down on ourselves. We even get down on others and it doesn't look good at this moment. And we start stressing about our own lives and other people's lives. And you don't want to minister to people in stress and anxiety. Even when you see great needs in their life, there still has to be in us a confidence in the Holy Spirit's ministry to his people. And if you lose that and you begin trying to fix them with the Bible and you start trying to fix their heart and you become the person trying to dig and fix their heart, what you're going to do is you might accomplish something, but you're also going to provoke people. And I can tell you, I've done it more than once in my life to my shame. And I'm not saying I'm not capable, but I've learned some things and I'm still learning. Bring the word. Yes, bring the word. It's the body ministry. Trust in the Holy Spirit's ministry to people's hearts. Well, they don't seem to be repentant yet. And you keep grinding with them, man. They don't seem to be as repentant as they should be. Are you going to bring them to repentance? Well, they seem repentant, but I'm not sure they're as broken as they need to be. They might not. Has there ever been a time in your life where you did wrong and weren't as broken about it as you needed to be? Did somebody grind you down into brokenness or what happened? It's funny. We know how it worked for us, but then we're going to work it different for someone else. I'm not saying don't let God use you to speak in the lives. Iron does sharpen iron. I'm saying we got to trust in the Holy Spirit. Well, I trust in the Holy Spirit in me. But Jeff over there, I'm not sure. We would never say that, but that's what we do. And then we trust that the Holy Spirit speaks through us. And what about when he's speaking to us through someone else? We need to be teachable and not think we know. I know it all spirit, or I know spirit. That's not something that pleases the Lord, man. When people are speaking into our lives, and I'm not saying it's easy, but when you find yourself trying to rise up just in your spirit, just go, just be quiet, sit down. Not just on the outside, sit down on the inside. And listen to what God's speaking to you. Don't look to make your case. Look to receive truth. What sets you free is not being understood, but receiving truth is what sets you free. Well, no, I'm not sure they got every detail right, and I feel compelled to make sure they know the truth about this. Okay, you can focus on making sure they got every detail of truth, or you can focus on, if you step back and go, okay, they might have missed that point, but is the fact you have needs? Well, yeah, that's a different issue. I know I'm messed up, but they just didn't get it right. Why don't you just focus on getting your mess cleared up, and you might not be as caught up in how they didn't get every little point right. You want to criticize and nitpick that they didn't get every point right? Or do you want to go, what's the Lord trying to tell me through them? That's how you become like Jesus. And the other way is how you begin to resist God and not even think you're resisting Him. You're resisting the process that He's bringing about in your life to mold you, to help you by His grace, to bring someone alongside to help and assist you. And we would never want to say it because we think we have that. We know the doctrine. We don't mind getting our time with God, but somebody else being used by God to help me in area. I should have known that. I shouldn't have needed them. Okay, well, we all deal with that a little bit, at least a little bit. Can I get a little bit of amen on that? I mean, we know better. I shouldn't be there, but why did I need them to tell me? You want to focus on analyzing that, or do you want to just accept the help and get set free? Well, this is really killing my pride. I should have known that, man. So we're fighting them, and they're trying to help us, right? The fact that you should have maybe known that. So what you're basically saying is, if I really walk in the Spirit, I won't need the body. I'll hear from God. And you know that you don't believe in that doctrine, but isn't that really what you're saying? If I can be so spiritual, nobody will have to rebuke me. If I can walk in the Spirit, I won't have to exercise humility if Pastor Jeff comes to put his finger in something in my life. No, you're not going to be so spiritual that you don't need someone to come into your life. Pastor Jeff needs me. I need him. We need one another. Why am I picking on Pastor? I'm not picking on him. I just know he can handle this. I mean, we need one another. That's all there is to it. Well, yeah, I know. Boy, we could use a little more grace. You know, we're thinking of grace for different things. We could use more grace on being just more ready to imbibe through other people in the body. Normally what happens is if you don't receive it from them, guess what? You're going around the mountain again. If the Lord was seeing fit to speak to you through them, you're very safe assuming they're here because God wants me to hear this. And there's so many things in our minds like, why are they here? What do they want? What's their motive? I'm not sure, but I can tell you that the way you're thinking isn't too good right now. It's not too healthy. Once you see that you're not believing the best, I don't think it's easy to look at it in our lives, but the fact is we're more suspicious than we think. Can I get one amen? Amen. Your neighbor's more suspicious than they should be, amen? Amen. But that includes all of you, so. I just came at it backwards. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you and in your brothers and sisters, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Can you praise God for that? Look at that. We'll complete it until. I was talking earlier about finisher, author and finisher. Until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2. We already quoted it. Verse 13. God, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. So what are we saying? Let God work. Wait on the Lord. Let God work. Delight in God. And He'll establish your ways. Delight in Him. Delight in His law. Delight in obeying Him. Psalm 40 says, your law is within my heart. And I delight, Psalm 40 says. It was a reference to Jesus. It was a prophetic word. I delight to do thy will. Oh God, your law is within my heart. And I delight to do your will. Colossians as you go there, I'll read it again. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God is working out His good pleasure, and sometimes we don't like how He's going about it. We normally have an opinion about everything that involves us, right? And we have a pretty strong opinion on what's best for us and how things should go for us. And the Lord is basically more than once dethroning us and going, trust me, wait upon me. I know what's best. My timing is right. I know what's going to make you ready to stand before me. See, we're looking at things from a temporal perspective, but he's looking at the big picture. And what he's after more than anything is when you stand before him hearing, well done. Isn't that the end? Isn't that what we want at the end? Pastor quoted this morning from Matthew 7. Many will say to me in that day, many, in the Greek is many, Lord, Lord. Imagine people standing before Jesus at the time of judgment and saying, Lord, Lord. It's not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who do the will of my Father. And many are going to say in that day, Lord. They're going to say from their perspective, Lord. And he's going to say from his perspective, I'm not. Don't want to be found there, right? Don't want to be found there. Trust in God. Let him have his way in your heart. Don't justify the areas that he says need to change. Don't put off change till when you feel like it. Deal with it at the time you hear. The Bible says now's the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. And today, if we hear his voice, we shouldn't what? Harden our hearts. How do you harden your heart? You don't sit there and go, I'm going to harden my heart. How do you harden your heart? You hear it. You know it's for you. And you don't do anything about it. And what happens? The birds of the air, it says Satan comes. And what does he come for? The word's sake. That was the word that came to your heart that spoke to you. That God precisely spoke to you by his Holy Spirit through his word, maybe through one of his servants. And he spoke to you and your heart knew that it was the Lord confirming what he's been dealing with you about. And you acknowledge it internally like, yeah, this is the Lord. And then you don't do anything about it. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor Ron? Do something about it, like a work? No. You do something about it means you do something in that area he's speaking to you. It might be starting with an acknowledgement. It could be a matter of you're doing something about it, like a confession. It could be like expressing your sorrow. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I see that clearly. Thank you for the illumination. I don't want that to be there anymore. I know that doesn't please you. And you begin. It could be him urging you to be more involved in witnessing. It could be him urging you to spend more time in prayer or in his word or more time with your wife or discipling your child or being a better testimony in your neighborhood or at work. Whatever that area is he's speaking to, you internally acknowledge it. Don't do anything about it. And it says in that parable, the birds of the air come and take that seed on the wayside soil. And it says Satan comes for that word. That word is the word that's going to change you when you obey it at that time. It was revelation. It was illumination. It was confirmation. It was God piercing your heart. It was God speaking. We hear his voice. We take it under advisement. We don't think that's what we're doing. We're not planning to just take it as a suggestion. But the fact is, by our fruit, we do. We take it as a suggestion. And the illumination and light of it's robbed from our lives. And there we are battling the same area. And how many times has God come back to that area and spoken again and spoken again and spoken again? And we need to be a people, and I'm not saying we're not, but it's a good exhortation for all of us, who are quick to hear and quick to obey. Otherwise, we become what? Hearers. Well, I'm not a hearer except in that area. But no, if you become a hearer and not a doer, then you deceive yourself, and there's no greater deception than self-deception. And what is it time to do when that's something that's happening in our lives? The Bible says you break up your fallow ground. How do you break up your fallow ground? It says break up your fallow ground. It's time to what? You know what that tells me? It tells me that the hindrance to seeking the Lord, one of them is fallow ground. What's fallow ground? It's ground that is not tenderized, it's not been plowed enough, and it has not become receptive enough for seed to grow and bring forth the necessary crop or harvest. Fallow ground is ground that's not tilled enough. Got too many weeds, too much hardness. How many of you are into planting? You can't plant without breaking up the ground, right? Break up the fallow ground tonight, for it is time to what? How many of you believe it's time to seek the Lord? But if you believe that, then what are you going to do practically? Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. And it says until he what? Until he comes. In the context, it says comes and what? Reigns? Righteousness. What about if you just stop there and it says, break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord until he comes. What if you just stop there? Would that still be biblical? How many believe it's time to seek the Lord until he comes? Now, until he comes, how many of you would like the righteousness rained upon you in times of refreshing in his presence? How many of you would like your life revived? How many of you would like to get this new strength by waiting upon the Lord? How many of you would like to get your joy back? How many of you would like to live in more of a habitual life of joy? How many of you would like to live more habitually in the true peace, the supernatural peace of God that passes all understanding? This is how we get it. We break up the fallow ground. We see how good God is, that he's not given up on us. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, for in him, that's Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then look at this. And you are complete in him. I think this is one of the best verses for battling insecurity, inferiority, image issues from your past or whatever. The Bible says you're accepted in the beloved. Maybe a husband walked out on you, a wife did, some kind of, whatever your past is, you're a new creation. That's not who you are anymore. Satan using those memories of the past against you and trying to attack you, that's not who you are. You've been forgiven. You've been forgiven and you're a new creation in Jesus. And the Bible says here, you're complete in him. And then look at this. Who is the head of all principality and power. You're complete in him. And he has all power over all those forces that attack you. And he's given you that authority in the name of Jesus. He's the head of all principality. Because the fact is, beloved, we are at war and it is intensifying. And we might not be aware of it because we might not be as sensitive in the spirit realm as we need to be right now. But there is a war waging for each one of our souls right now. And you're complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Look at verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith and the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses, it goes on at the end of that verse to say, having forgiven you all trespasses. He wiped out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, and which was contrary to us. And he took it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And look at verse 15. He disarmed what? Principalities and powers, and he made a what? Public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. We're victorious tonight. Can you say praise God? We've been given a name, that name that's above every name. We heard this morning, and you can, since you're Colossians, the next book is 1 Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. Pastor was just emphasizing this gospel message is for spirit, soul, and body. And it's not just, it takes care of your spirit and then you leave the rest of the gospel out. It's for the whole man. And you see so clearly here, even this whole man being spoken to here. In verse 23 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at verse 24. He who calls you, he tells you, and then he tells you what he's going to do. He's going to sanctify you completely. And then look at the end of verse 23 again, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. At that moment when we see him, beloved, what's going to happen? This corruption is going to put on what? Incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality, and we are going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And when we see him, we're going to be what? Like him. And we're going to know him as we've been known, right? Verse 24, he who calls you, faithful is he who calls you. So what do you trust in? You can keep looking at yourself and analyzing your works. I tell you, when your works fall short of what God wants, the Holy Spirit will get you. Just walk with God. The Holy Spirit will tell you where you're off. Don't overanalyze where you're off and try to figure your own heart out or figure anybody else's heart out. Trust in the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. When you're not sure, if there's something that the Lord's putting on your heart, just ask Him, search me, oh God, try me. Know my heart and see if there's any what? Wicked way in me, and lead me into the way that's everlasting. Asking God to search and examine our hearts is a very clear biblical principle throughout Scripture. And we don't know our own hearts, but God does. And He will reveal to you what He wants you to know about your own heart. Faithful, trusting in the faithfulness of God as it pertains to your salvation, as it pertains to your redemption, as it pertains to your sanctification. See, our sanctification is still being walked out daily. But from an eternal spiritual perspective, it says in 1 Corinthians 6, you've been justified in the name of our Lord Jesus. And you've been what? Sanctified in the name of our Lord Jesus. It's being walked out. It's a be ye being. It's a process. But in the spirit realm, you got to know legally, you've been sanctified. That's why we're called in the epistles. The body of Christ is called you, the sanctified ones, the saints in Christ. It just means set apart. And the process of us being set apart, the process of it being worked out is the process. Trusting in His faithfulness. He who calls you, I have the New King James Version. It says, he who calls you is faithful, who also will, he will do it. Over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 quickly. We've got a couple more verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18, as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, by me, Silas, Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes. And in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now look at verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a what? As a guarantee. Can you say guarantee?
Guarantee.
But it starts with, look what we started with. Verse 18, as God is what? You need to be more faithful? That's good. That's a good area to work on. But be faithful because you know God is faithful. You want to be like Him. Faithfulness is another fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness. Abiding in Him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Well, just because of time, I'll tell you what, I better go over to Hebrews 13 right now. Sorry about that. Hebrews 13. See, in 1 Peter, and we might not get there, you know that's one of my favorite verses, and so is Jude, but in 1 Peter it talks about being kept by the power of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says that we've been given all things that pertain to life and what? Godliness. And it talks about being a partaker of His divine nature through the knowledge of Him. Through knowing God, we become partakers of His divine nature. And then the first epistle says you're kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed at the last time. And then Jude says, unto Him that is able to keep us from falling. We need to trust in this hour where people are falling and the love of many is growing cold. We got to trust in His ability in us, His life in us, His resurrection power. Verse 20 of Hebrews 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you what? I love that. Make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you, I love that, what is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Is that a mouthful or what? Working in you. These wouldn't be bad verses 20 and 21 go meditate on. The God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep. There's so much you can say about these verses. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. If you want more along these lines, verses like this, you can grab a hold of Philippians chapter 1 and you can go a little bit more into it where I read that verse 6, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. There's more that talks about the fruits being born in your life through Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 is another place you could go, and it talks about God working in you. And it goes on, talks about Christ in us, the hope of glory. Him we preach and try to perfect. He says, I labor toward that end to see every man complete and perfect in Jesus Christ. What a faithful God we serve. Amen. A God who is able. And He says, now you wait upon Me. I'm in control. I want you to step back and let Me be God in your life. I want you to believe in who I said I am. And I want you to spend time with Me so that what you say you believe about Me becomes more real in your life. I want to make myself more real to you, but I want you to be more consecrated and dedicated to building a more intimate relationship with Me. Make time for God. He's worthy. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We worship You for who You are. We give You the glory and are thankful for Your faithfulness. Lord, that You'll still perfect what concerns each one of us. We've heard Your encouragement to our hearts tonight to trust in Your Holy Spirit who will guide us into all truth, who's given us the power, the guarantee in our hearts, and the power from on high to be witnesses, to be ambassadors, to be representatives, to carry this gospel and proclaim it boldly, and the power also to live our lives as living epistles known and read by all men. Father, we thank You for what You're doing in our hearts, our homes, our fellowship. Ask You to continue to open doors for us, continue to prepare the missions team. We lift up our family in Kenya and in other areas. We're thankful for what You've done through this ministry, and we don't take it lightly or for granted. Father, we lift up Pastor right now in Greer and ask You to refresh each of the pastors, to refresh and strengthen our hearts. Father, we need Your touch, Your refreshing, Father, even for Pastor right now. We just send Your word to him right now and speak peace upon his heart and his mind and bring refreshing to his inner man and cause the Spirit of God to rise up within him. Father, in his weariness right now, Father, just strengthen him and Greer and each one of us, and we'll be careful to give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thankful for your lives and thankful for the cross and that redemption that's in Christ Jesus. We've been justified, it says in Romans 3, freely by His grace, and His love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You can turn to someone and say, God is good.